A big swath of Europe has just agreed to share information about where people are hiding money from the tax collector. From Marketplace to New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The five biggest European economies have agreed to share data about who is paying taxes to whom amid new attention to tax havens. It's been nearly 2 weeks since the so-called Panama Papers came to light. 11 million leaked records of hidden money coordinated through a law firm in Panama. There's pressure for other Group of 20 countries to sign on to this, the U.S. included. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore joins us. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning to David.
What has this group come up with here?
Well, tax campaigners here in Europe and financial institutions, leading financial groups, have really been welcoming this new international agreement. It's all designed to make tax evasion a lot harder to carry out. Now, we do know that these European nations are trying to encourage the rest of the G20 to go along with it. The United States in particular, Russia and China have been rather reluctant to go along with it. Today we had the head of the OECD, Angel Gurría, talking about how the net now is going to close in on tax offenders.
We have to crank down on the professional enablers who play a key role in maintaining the veil of secrecy.
Christine Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, has also been commenting on this new deal for countries here in Europe to share information on tax.
We at the IMF will question whether the technical assistance that we provide in relation to anti-money laundering can be better leveraged to identify what more is needed in terms of implementation.
As you just mentioned, the United States has not signed on to this plan yet.
No, the U.S. does have concerns that measures like this might be harmful to states like Delaware, for example. We know Delaware is renowned for providing corporate secrecy.
The BBC's Russell Padmore, thank you.
David, thank you.
We've been covering the renewed scrutiny to corporate secrecy in the state of Delaware. There's a link to that at marketplace.org. The spring meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank is going on in Washington this weekend, where there could be more discussion of hidden money and taxation. So America's tax filing deadline is Monday because of the Emancipation Day holiday in D.C. A new study finds that tax preparation companies sometimes take advantage of low and moderate income people who receive the Earned Income Tax Credit. The popular program shaves people's tax bills, but critics are concerned too much refund money winds up in the pockets of the tax preparers. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Nearly 28 million Americans receive the EITC, and for many, it's a vital boost that helps pay their medical bills or fix the car that gets them to work.
Typically, they get about $2,200.
Paul Weinstein of Johns Hopkins University is co-author of the Progressive Policy Institute study. It looked closely at Washington and Baltimore and found tax prep companies charged EITC filers around $400 on average. Nationally, the study found that areas with high concentrations of EITC filers also have high concentrations of brand-name tax prep branches. The tax prep industry has gotten a lot of criticism over the years. Michael Best is with Consumer Federation of America.
We see really high instances of errors. We see fees that are kind of all over the place.
Various programs, including IRS Free File, provide free tax preparation for low-income Americans. H&R Block and Liberty Tax Service issued statements strongly disputing the report's findings, saying clients pay for the convenience and expertise they offer. Jackson Hewitt didn't respond to requests for comment. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down about 0.2%. There's also news today that China's economy grew at an annual rate of 6.7%. Now, that's in line with expectations, but slower than last year. We've been reporting this week from Puerto Rico on the effects of the $70 billion debt crisis there. Today from Carolina, Puerto Rico, east of the capital, San Juan, the issue is retirement. Most weekends, the Andujar family gets together in Carolina. On a recent Sunday, Marketplace's Andy Euler got invited.
Joanne Morales works for the Puerto Rican government as a social worker. She helps addicts and homeless people. She's seen government cutbacks firsthand. Some of her friends were laid off, and she knows some people who continue to work but aren't getting paid.
I know some people who work in professional services, and sometimes their checks are overdue for the work that person did. They get paid 2 or 3 months after the month that they were working.
But it's not like you can just suspend paying your bills for 2 or 3 months at a time. You work to get paid, and if you're not getting your checks on time, something's got to give.
Everyone has to wait for the government. It puts a strain on the other processes.
Retirees aren't getting paid either. Since 2014, the Puerto Rican central government has failed to pay more than $300 million in annual pension payments. Olga Ramirez-Andujar worked for the juvenile court system in the city of Guayama for more than 30 years. At night, she was a seamstress. She retired about 10 years ago. She's been lucky so far. She's still getting her monthly pension checks, but she still does a bit of work in the courts to earn extra cash in case the government tells her it can't make her pension payments.
Yo tengo mis pensiones.
I have my pension, and along with my pension, I work. I have to pay for the things that I need. I still work, and I work to maintain the quality of life that I have.
The pension system in Puerto Rico is yet another example of the island's problem. It borrowed money to pay for things and doesn't have the capital to make payments. With pensions, it promised to pay citizens. Now it can't do it. The two main public employee pensions, teachers' retirement system and employees' retirement system, have a combined unfunded liability of more than $40 billion. They've got less than $2 billion in assets. And the retirement problem isn't going away. An aging population and dwindling tax base doesn't bode well for an island already $70 billion in debt. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Oil is down 2% now, $40.67 a barrel, ahead of a big meeting this weekend by the oil producers cartel OPEC. A production freeze may not happen. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.